In the name of the one God, who is lover, beloved, and love overflowing. Well, here we are, 3 weeks into Advent, and still no baby, and not even a hint of a baby. Instead, we remain at the River Jordan with John, and in the wilderness with Isaiah. No matter how many Advents I live through, I always expect this season to be a more sentimental one than it really is. Somehow, from year to year, I forget that Advent is not about building a crib or painting a nursery in joyful anticipation of a sweet baby. Instead, Advent descends like a thief in the night, stealing us away once more to the desert, there to be tested, and there to be formed or reformed once more. It's all rather disorienting, and I suppose that that is a big part of the point. Amos reminds us that we may not know what we're really looking for. "Why do you desire the day of the Lord?" he asks. "It is darkness, not light, as if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake." No, Advent is not a warm fire and a glass of coquito. It is a dry and dusty sojourn through the wilderness to the borderland of our belonging, where we can once more encounter our wild and wily God. And as much as we may think we are waiting on God during this season, it's really God who is waiting on us. John's stationing at the River Jordan is not accidental. The Jordan formed the border between the Promised Land and the desert. And it's in that desert wilderness that the Israelites wandered after their slavery. It's there that they encountered God, and that through their trials, murmurings, and cursing, God forged them into a community. It is through that wilderness that God brought her people back from the exile in Babylon. And it is into the same wilderness that the Spirit drives Jesus after his baptism to be tempted and also to be formed. For it is through his temptation that Jesus touches his deepest desire, which is for God alone. It is in this place of wild wandering that we too come to know God, and in that encounter to be known as God's beloved. And so it is also to the wilderness that John calls, or we might say recalls, the people when they have strayed from God's ways. And it is in the wilderness of this historical moment that we too must face down temptation and despair. It is in this wilderness of plague and political unrest and longing for communion and community that we may allow God to strip down our desire until all we want is God. And it is from this wilderness of darkness and wandering and disorientation that our hope will emerge. For 3 weeks now, we have heard the most exquisite poetry in Scripture as Isaiah offers words of hope to those longing for their homeland. The desert in which the Israelites wandered, in which the exiles yearned for their return, and in which we too cry out for the bread of life, is the very place of our salvation. We might be used to thinking of the wilderness or desert as a place through which we pass on our way to the homeland of God. But such a view, beautiful though it may be, shortchanges God's promises to us. The wilderness is not a waypoint. It is, if we have the eyes to see and have hands to work, the blessed theater of our redemption. And as such, it is a paradise amidst the ruins and the dwelling place of God. In his book on Benedictine monasticism, Thomas Merton writes that the monastery is a tabernacle in the desert, upon which the Shekinah, the luminous cloud of the divine presence, almost visibly descends. He continues, "The monk is one who lives in the secret of God's face, immersed in the divine presence. The monastery is never merely a house, it is a church, a sanctuary of God. It is a tabernacle of the New Testament where God comes to dwell with us, not merely in a miraculous cloud, but in the mystical humanity of his divine Son, whom the cloud prefigured." Our Advent prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus," is not a plea to be saved from our lives, or at least it shouldn't be. God is not a superhero who swoops down to rescue us from the world we have created. No, God is a candle in the darkness, revealing the world in which we live and illuminating the way to new and deeper life. God is the loving one who pries apart the chains that bind our hearts and who frees us to offer our lives as a living sacrament. And sometimes God is a push out the door to encounter this extraordinary place we have been given to live, with all its joy and all its pain. We Christians, and in a peculiar way, we monks more especially so, are an in-between people. We live between the proclamation that Christ has died and Christ will come again, planting ourselves right here and now, where Christ is risen. Just so we make our living in the desert of this world, refraining from the easy convenience of either despair or oblivion. No, like John, we are not the Messiah, but like him, we can be voices crying out to this world, drawing the people, and yes, ourselves too, back to the desert, where the stars shine more brightly, pointing the way home to God. Our longing for return is its own answer. And in our hunger for God, we are already fed. For in the ruins of our lives, God has planted us as oaks of righteousness, her full glory on display within and around us in the mystical humanity of her dear Son, shining at us in the face of our brothers and sisters. Come, Lord Jesus, reveal yourself as God within and among us.